plate a potential nugget.
I want to take it back to parenting, Chris. Given the various conversations you've had with him and your understanding of his journey, what do you notice about the parenting he was exposed to with Lynette and Robert? Any aspects of the parenting that stand out for you?
Well, I haven't really done in-depth interviews with Lynette and Robert. I talked to both of them early in Roger's career when they were more accessible. But I've talked to many people about their way of doing things, and I've talked to Roger about it. And I think it's a combination. I'd say a couple different levels. One is that we're talking about Switzerland here. And Switzerland does not have a real culture of hero worship or sports star, superstar worship. It's not really part of the Swiss mentality. So Roger kind of grew up in this situation where even though he was a fabulous talent, he wasn't going to be put up on a pedestal like a guy like Lionel Messi might have been in Argentina, or Cristiano Ronaldo would have been, or you know, maybe Novak Djokovic in Serbia as time went along. Different situation. That's part of it. I also think that you know Robert and Lynette had lives of their own. They were successful people. Robert was an executive with a pharmaceutical firm. You know, he's an engineer by training. His mom is has a very strong personality, a lot of charisma, a lot of confidence, wanted to raise a good human as well as a good athlete. The human was more important to them, I think, than the athlete all along. And they raised Roger to behave himself and to respect other people and to respect his workspace or his colleagues. And I think that's all part of it as well. Yes, they watched plenty of his tennis. And also Robert and Lynette were also very involved in Roger's career early in his pro career when he separated with his agents, Regis Brunet and the IMG team that I mentioned before, and began to kind of run things in-house. Mirka, who became his wife, actually was his press liaison during that period. So he used to call Mirka or text Mirka to get an interview with Roger. So things have definitely changed there. But I think Robert and Lynette, in the Swiss culture, and the fact that Lynette is South African by birth, not Swiss, so there was an international kind of meeting of cultures already in the Federer household. Switzerland being a fairly international place anyway, and Basel being a city right on the border with France and Germany. Roger grew up with many different cultures kind of mixing in his own house as well as outside his front door. And I think he was very comfortable navigating in international waters after that. And a lot of that has to do with his parents exposing him to all that at a very early age.
I loved what you said. For them, raising a good human being was probably a notch higher than raising a great athlete. So I guess that sort of, in a way, explains a lot of elements of parenting.
There's a lot of good stories about, I don't know all the stories about Lynette. I'm sure there are plenty of those, but Robert was the one who, you know, would sort of, when he was with his son playing tennis, because Robert and Lynette are both avid amateur tennis players who came to the game later in life. And really, their enthusiasm, I'm sure, was one of the reasons why Roger gravitated to tennis. But there's stories of Robert sort of making his son walk home from the club because he was acting up during their matches, unable to control himself, and making him take public transport back instead of giving him a ride. There's a famous story of him coming back from a junior tournament, and Roger wouldn't stop complaining in the back of the car. And this is not very 21st century, at least not in our countries for parenting, but Robert gets out of the car and buries Roger's head in the snow to cool him off and get him to stop complaining. So I think there was some tough love involved, but I think there were some clear guidelines and parameters put in place by the Federer parents. And honestly, as a professional sports writer who's covered a lot of tennis, you've seen a lot of enabling behavior from parents over the years, not just in tennis, obviously in many, many sports, and probably in many academic disciplines as well, where if a child has an exceptional talent, the parents will cut them too much slack and you end up with a better talent than you do a human. But I think the Federers, at least by all the evidence we've seen from the outside, you never know how things happen when the doors are closed, but all the evidence of Roger being in the public eye for 20 plus years, all the conversations I had for this book, I think they did a good job of producing a pretty good human too.
And one of the things that struck me was in the book, you say that Robert also told him, given it's a low odds profession, that if you don't get into the top 100 by the time you're 20, then you might as well come back and, you know, pull up your socks and focus on academics. Do you have a view on that? Because sports also is not an easy profession to make it commercially viable. So any commentary on how they thought about that at different points in time?
Yeah, that was a family thing, but also I think it was a Swiss thing. Swiss culture, as I said, I think is a culture where sports are secondary to academics. I believe Indian culture in many ways is similar to that.
True.
And a lot of Asian culture as well is similar to that. And I think it was very much the case in Switzerland that, you know, pro athletes were rare, especially the exceptional kind, and the country had traditional values, and there was a sense that maybe sports was not 100% serious, unless you were a skier. Maybe that's different there, because that's obviously a holy land for them, the snow and the alpine skiing. But I think the tennis world was one that they were just kind of getting exposed to at the elite level. Martina Hingis, who was an immigrant, had just become number one in the world in the women's game just not long before Roger began to emerge. So there was definitely some quality in the Swiss tennis world, but not a lot of confidence from many parents that this was going to be a real path to a profitable long-term career. And I think Robert Federer is a businessman and somebody who understood risk and reward, was very attuned to the fact that his son needed to have a very strong backup plan. And he did a lot of discussion with agents and people who knew the game well. And I think his conclusion was, if Roger didn't arrive at X, which was that top 100 position within, I think, 3 or 4 years from turning pro, then it probably wasn't going to happen. And because Roger stopped school at 16, his parents are both well-educated. It was important to them that, you know, Roger get his degree if he wasn't able to become a pro tennis player and get that education on the road, that, which is true about tennis. He definitely has a school of its own with all the international travel and all the meetings. And I think Roger took full advantage of a lot of that. Some players don't, but I think he really did.
This reminds me of an insight from Paddy Upton, mental conditioning coach of the Indian cricket team that won the ODI Cricket World Cup in 2011, with Dhoni hitting a last ball six in Wankhede. Paddy speaks about how Sachin Tendulkar's father would obsess about who he was as a human being as much as he would obsess about developing his cricketing capabilities.
In fact, Sachin told the story of himself when he first made the Indian cricket team as a 16-year-old, and when he came back from that tour, one of his teammates and very good friends saying to him that, you know, Sachin, we recognize you're a better cricketer than us, but since you made the Indian team, you're acting as if you're a more important person than us. And as a group of friends, we don't like that. And Sachin highlights that as one of the high moments or in his career, one of the most significant, moments in his career, when he was really able to realize the difference between being a good cricketer and being a human being, where, yes, he was a great cricketer, but it doesn't mean that he is now a great human being or superior or more important human being to his friends. And at the time, he also mentioned that his father had spoken to him about that, you know, your results on the field, people will very quickly forget them. If you score 100 and you score the naught the next week, they'll forget your 100. Or you score a naught and you score 100 the following week, people will forget that. But they will always remember the impact you have on them as a person. So from a young age, his father had delivered that message. Then it was reinforced as a 16-year-old by his friends saying, who you are as a person is separate from the results you achieve on the sports field.
I've come to realize that while talent and hard work takes you to the top, what determines staying power is the values of the individual, which more often than not have been shaped by early years and by parenting. I also loved another point that Chris makes when he speaks about how Robert and Lynette set Roger a goalpost when he decided to pursue tennis. If you don't get into the top 100 by the time you're 20, you might as well come back and focus on academics. There's something to be said about how you give the long rope and where you keep the safety net for the child as they grow up. Something similar came up in my conversation with Atul Kasbekar, one of the celebrated photographers in the country, the man behind the Kingfisher calendar. He was actually studying chemical engineering at UDCT, one of the top chemical engineering colleges in India. He says that he picked chemical engineering because he liked chemistry. Very quickly, he figured out that chemical engineering had nothing to do with chemistry and wanted to go to photography. He shares what his father said at that point in time.
And even though, to give due, absolute due credit, even though he couldn't afford it at that time, my dad insisted that, okay, you, whatever education you want is not a problem. You figure out which is the best place in the world to go to, and I'll send you there. I was like, but you can't afford it right now, you know. So, and he's saying, shut up, that's none of your business, you know. But this is your long rope, because the education is everything. The receipt I want for it, he always had this thing about a degree.
Yep.
So I said, you know, photography, I don't really need a degree. I can assist people, I can learn, etc. I said, no, no, no. I want a degree to make myself happy. The degree is my receipt for the money I'm spending.
Very interesting.
Okay, so you give me my receipt. I don't care what you do with this. So,
that as a parent, I've done my best to equip you for whatever.
So it was a great line. He said, look, you know, this is your long rope. Now you come up with it or you hang yourself is up to you. Okay, but I'm giving you that long rope. And after I've taken care of your education, your sister's education, etc., your mother and I will studiously spend your inheritance, which I thought was a very cool thing. And I have, that's one of the few lines I have brutally used with my kids. Kya padhna hai batao? Okay, you get that one shot of the title. After that, good luck, buddy. You know, and if you need me to make phone calls, I'm more than happy to make them. Need me to stand guarantor for something, I'm happy to do that. But you know, I mean, it's you go on your journey now.
Got it.
And then that safety net right now, which is right under your ass, you know, for my kids, I will move that now 30 feet below.
Got it.
And then further below and then take it away.
I guess as our kids grow up, they are much more likely to make unorthodox choices in the way they think about passion and opportunity. How we think about supporting their passion and ambition while taking care of the risk is a tricky tightrope. Something for us to learn from these journeys here. If you want to tune into the conversation with Atul Kasbekar and Paddy Upton, you can just go to playtopotential.com and look up the guests section there. That's playtopotential.com.